At Soycle. Totally, definitely not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson. At Soycle.
This is what people in Wisconsin want to know.
At Soycle. None of those claims are vetted. So none of those claims have actually been chased down to find out if they're true.
That's the thing. I don't like chasing things. I think that's for dogs that are on the loose. I don't like things that are vetted. I don't take my dog to the vet because you know what they have there? More needles.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Welcome to the noon hour on the Friday show, March 3rd. We are starting. It's been a month. It has been a month since the East Palestine Norfolk Southern train derailment. And our guest to kick off this hour has been on the ground for the last month doing independent on the ground reporting. And we're so excited to have him back to give us an update. John Russell, how you doing, man?
Hi, Wisconsin. I'm doing okay.
You have been busy. So we had you on February 13th, which is the second time you've been on, but yes, specifically with this topic. And you've been very busy since, as far as there's a lot happening. There's a lot as far as what politicians are trying to win points off of this, including our own Ron Johnson, that was totally him in the opener. It was not an impersonator comedian doing an impression of Ron Johnson. It was definitely Ron Johnson. He tried to raise money off of this. Trump showed up. There's been more developments as to why this actually happened. And now there is a new bill potentially to talk about how to prevent this from happening again. So the general opening question: what's been happening since the last time we talked to you?
Oh, lots of things have been happening. I think this story, if you've ever watched a movie about industrial disasters, this thing will play out, over 15 to 20 years. It'll be a long time before we really know the full effects of what's going to happen health-wise for residents. It'll take that long for any class actions to work their way through. But more immediately, what's happened, we've seen a parade of political figures come through. We have seen the NTSB, charged with investigating these kinds of disasters, put out their preliminary report. A little bit more detailed report as they continue to investigate here. And they basically found what rail workers have been warning about for a long time, which was lack of preventative maintenance on a wheel bearing caused it to overheat for up to 20 miles before this derailment and eventually resulted in the crash. There's a lot more to dig up there. And we've seen, national figures kind of from both sides come in and advance their own end of the story.
Talk about it. Have the press be there. So I guess let's start with the politicians and then we can get a little bit more into the report as far as, because it's one of those things where, on the one hand, Biden still hasn't shown up, right?
Yeah, correct.
And so Buttigieg has been there. But as far as as someone who's, this is your community, you're not from East Palestine, but you're from the same county. What is the balance between good faith politicians showing up because they care versus the I'm here for a photo op? Because on this one side, there's criticism if they don't come. But then sometimes they do come and you're like, what are you actually doing here?
It's a fair question. And honestly, both sides here have not really looked great. I mean, if it's one thing that really stands out, I mean, we spent, I was working with More Perfect Union. My girlfriend Jess and I, we worked together. We were all up there covering this thing on the ground for about the last 10 days. And what really stands out is the company really has a monopoly on what goes on here. They have all of the information. They hold most of the power. Any politicians that have come through East Palestine, most of them have accepted really large amounts from Norfolk Southern. And not a lot of them, appear to have what it takes to go toe-to-toe with a $55 billion company. And, we've seen the company act pretty confident in their power and their control over the situation. I mean, the amounts that they're offering to residents are laughable. They, you know, kind of defy any power that politicians may or may not wield. Right. And the response, you know, from agencies has been bumbling at best. So that's something.
So we're talking to John Russell, who's the author of The Holler, which is an Appalachian-based independent media for the fed up working class. And he has been for the last month painstakingly reporting on the ground of everything that's happening in East Palestine. And so now there's been a group of six senators, including both senators from Ohio, who have introduced new legislation to improve rail safety. And I guess first question, did it surprise you that both senators, J.D. Vance and Sherrod, are both on this?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I think here's something for the listeners to really consider, though. There was some reporting on this that, you know, big story angle ended up being the regulations and what administrations, you know, proposed, unrolled them back, and then failed to pick them up. You know, Obama proposed breaking regulations and hazardous materials designations. The Trump administration rolled them back. The Biden administration failed to pick them up. But what's important to know is that that whole conversation was really secondary to the cause of this derailment. Rail workers were telling me forever, there's extreme profit seeking that is putting the public in danger. They are cutting the staff, they're cutting the safety, the training, the maintenance, the inspection times for things like wheel bearings that ended up derailing this train. That is really the primary focus here. The corporate practices of this really large company, more so, you know, and then secondary is this whole braking and safety regulation conversation. Those are absolutely things that must happen. They just weren't causal factors in this derailment. So a lot of the bills that we see coming out are picking up that old conversation. But I think what really needs to be done here is a much larger look about how the largest companies are doing business in America. I mean, we are seeing not only in the rail industry, what we're seeing in the rail industry is extreme profits that are piling up from cutting all of the things that keep us safe. And then the government response we're seeing is kind of nibbling around the edges, even though it's, you know, regulation that we want and everything. These companies have really gone beyond anything that has been proposed in these bills or the regulations, you know, that are happening. They're to be commended. We could use them. But we, for as, you know, intense as these companies are seeking profits right now and the extent to which they're willing to endanger the public to get them, we really need to have a larger conversation about their entire practice.
And speaking of that, you did a great video kind of summing up what Norfolk Southern is offering and how pitiful it actually is. And so, Jane, can we play that?
Norfolk Southern is bragging on the internet about offering $5.4 million to East Palestine after their nearly 2-mile-long train of toxic chemicals was detonated in the middle of town. Can you even pay to make something like that right? I'm sure somebody has gone to jail for much less. I mean, people are in jail for weed. This is a $55 billion company. They made almost $5 billion in profit last year. Do you know how much that is? The median home value in East Palestine was $100,000 before this. Norfolk Southern's money, left over after expenses were paid in just a single year, could buy each of the, let's say, 4,000 homes in East Palestine 10 times over, and they'd still turn a profit. I talked to a lady in the blast zone making $13.50 an hour and raising grandkids. That is not out of the ordinary around here. People like that work their whole life to build value in their home, and Norfolk Southern is bragging about offering $3.4 million to families. You know how many homes that buys around here? 34. Would you want to buy one of those homes? This company spent $10 billion last year on buying back their own stock. They increased shareholder payouts by 4,500%. Stock buybacks are the first thing you do to explode the wealth and power of your corporation, and the last thing you're supposed to do only after you've paid money to maintain your equipment. They've cut their staff by a third, and they've run the people that are still there ragged. That's what the rail strike would have been about before it was stopped by Congress with bipartisan support. A wheel bearing overheated and appears to have derailed this train. Workers have said for months that the time to inspect cars and the wheel bearings on them was cut in half, and there's less people to do it. Safety monitors are doing more work with less people. That $10 billion could have gone to more safety, training, maintenance, and staff, but it went to executives and the richest shareholders instead. If they can put $10 billion towards buying back their own stock, how many billions can they put toward the town that they nuked with chemicals?
So that is Hey John Russell. You should definitely follow him on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Anything else you're on?
That's about it. It's Hey John Russell everywhere. If there's something out there, that's where it is.
John, I just want to say it's so worth watching the footage, because you include when they blew up those chemicals and this big black mushroom cloud of poison. If you haven't seen it, you need to really appreciate the long-term ramifications of this mess.
And so what is any updates? Because when we come back from the break, I want, because you've also spent time talking to people who actually live there. And we have some clips from that I want to play as well. But we'll get to that in the next segment. But as far as where is, I mean, are they still trying to pretend that the water's okay to drink? Or where has it kind of been as far as reality versus what's being talked about as people even being able to be in the vicinity?
Oh, man. It's a rough situation because on the one hand, you have agencies that are saying, and by the way, what the agencies are saying, what the officials are saying has changed a lot, and it's stirred up, you know, distrust among residents, and for good reason. I mean, people are being told that the air and water in their homes is no different than before this crash. And then I can't tell you the number of residents we've talked to who hear that, go back into their house, and then the next day they have a rash, headaches, watering eyes, all of the rest.
You're living this every day, but hearing it from you and reading about it is infuriating. And so when we come back, John Russell will still be here. We're going to hear more from residents who actually live there and talk about potentially other solutions in a pie in the sky wish list. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around.
Yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. All day long I biddy-biddy-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. Yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. That is Jane Mettenair trying to lighten the mood with
a little fiddler on the roof.
And our guest this half hour is John Russell, who is an independent journalist and has been on the ground reporting from East Palestine from the last month. And what I appreciate is you basically have your, you know, equipment. You're not part of a huge crew. And I think because you're from there, you're from the same county, the conversations and probably the much more real conversations you can have with not necessarily the politicians and the company, but the people who this has actually affected, whether it be union workers, railroad workers, residents. And so let's play a clip from these were Trump voters, right?
Yep.
So let's play that clip.
Yep.
When they blame a left side or a right side or this and back and forth, we're not
tired of
it's
that.
Not yeah. about it's about our town now and people not being able to drink the water, about kids having rashes. It's about this thing. That's what this is about.
Norfolk Southern. What do they really owe this community?
They owe this community a lot. They owe us property value. They owe us our health. They owe us 5-10 years from now when things are going on.
This company that's owned by J.P. Morgan, Vanguard, and BlackRock. Alan Shaw's a pawn.
So
he's a pawn. He makes $8 million a year. $8 million a year. He lives in an 8,000-foot square mansion. He doesn't care about the people.
They're going to make their money, man. The trains are going to roll no matter what.
whether we're here or not. We're just ants to them. Industrial accidents can be prevented. Every industrial accident that's ever happened in the country can be prevented. Preventative maintenance. Trump.
Did you go into those conversations with these people thinking that they were going to know as much about the companies and the railroads as they did?
I actually did, because the hill that I will die on is that there is muscle memory in this part of the country. This used to be union, working class, Democrat voting country. They are used to class politics, and that's why Donald Trump was so successful here, because he talks in class politics language. We all know that it doesn't make any sense, that it's a sham, but folks here are tuned in to, you know, how the rich are doing their business. And an accident like this just brings it all into perfect focus. But that's a real tragedy of Trump, because he takes that potential that you just heard from those people talking and squanders it and, you know, redirects it to his own purposes. That's a real tragedy. But yeah, people know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, because I couldn't talk that. Before this happened, I wouldn't have known all that information. And And it's interesting, because I think you can hear it in their voice, which is obvious that they're angry. I have to imagine you're angry. And how do you balance, I guess, as the work you're trying to do, and you have to keep going, they have to go keep going, everyone has to keep going, even though you feel so under the thumb and helpless of, like, what's actually going to change? And so, like, how do you, without sounding too Pollyanna, like, how are you balancing your emotions around this while still, like, marching forward?
Oh, I garden. I just furiously garden.
Weeding is a great cleanser, right, John?
Oh, I know you know, Jane. Yes, absolutely. Well, okay, let's actually talk about this. So, yes, covering these things is infuriating on so many levels. But there's also, you know, righteous anger is a double-edged sword. You know, this is obviously a massive tragedy. But it'd be even worse if people weren't so angry about it. Because when people are angry about something, there's potential for it to change. And I've been very surprised that this story has stayed in the news as long as it has. And that gives me a little hope that we can talk about these things, get it out, and keep our eye on the ball and do this enough that some kind of change will come from it eventually. That's what I hold on to.
That's good. No, and that's good. And I would say, I mean, it hasn't gone away. It's been a month, and as updates are happening, and clearly, I mean, we want to keep talking to you as things continue to progress and stuff. So I guess as far as more information, more resources, is there fundraisers, like GoFundMes and stuff? Or, like, what is kind of the stuff for people who are concerned and care but don't live there? What do you feel like people listening to this could do?
I would direct them to River Valley Organizing. This is a local collective action political organizing group. And, you know, I've been in politics for a good long while. I have seen a lot of political nonprofits where it's really just a halfway employment house for Democratic staffers in between campaigns. Usually that's what these organizations are. Not the case with River Valley Organizing. Okay. These are people you wouldn't want to tangle with in a bar fight. And they are one of them said, I used to fight with my hands and now I fight with my mouth. They are being loud, they're local, and they're taking it to the company. Look into River Valley Organizing.
All right. I will send me that link so I can put it on today's show notes, because I think that would be good to share with the people and learn more about that. Anything else? Any closing thoughts before we let you go and maybe go back to bed?
Absolutely. Well, I would say stay tuned for this story. This is the very beginning of what's going to go down as one of the largest environmental disasters, you know, in recent history. This will keep unfolding. The NTSB laid down markers. We're going to talk to rail workers about, you know, inspection times on cars. We're going to follow up with this controlled burn, quote unquote. There's a lot of questions around that and why that, you know, amount of chemicals was released into the air. This is a very, very dynamic story. It's unfolding, so stay tuned for that.
Absolutely. You can find him on social media at Hey John Russell. You can also subscribe and pay for The Holler, which is John Russell's newsletter. Friend, thank you for joining us today. Always super interesting. You're so genuine in your care and your reporting on this, and it is very appreciated.
Thank you so much. I can say the same as goes Wisconsin. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon. And for us, talking about the media, Hasan Minhaj had some thoughts about Skip Bayless. So we're going to talk about it when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan? If I were a wealthy man.
We're Lakers for life, but there's one player, don't matter what team he's on, he's incredible. Follow me for the changes. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. 1, 2, 3. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. MVP. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. Yes, it's true. Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo, Antetokounmpo. We love you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mantenair. And now we are going to have some fun for the... We're going to start the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Happy Hour maybe a little bit early today. Although both John Russell and Joe Zepecki...
Such great guests.
Such great guests.
Really. And Joe is so knowledgeable and John is so passionate. And I thought you asked him just a really good question about how you maintain not being ticked off all the time.
Yeah.
In something like that, so.
Well, and someone has asked me that once, as far as the topics, whether it's the videos or now the radio show, and reading this much news is not natural.
No, it's not.
And staying this up to date and balancing the decisions between, you know, your own mental health and happiness, talking about stories that are important and that we should talk about, versus not just being a downer for 3 hours,
right,
and not having all of, you know, for social media, not having all the social media video being like, this is another thing to be mad about.
Here's the next thing that will kill you.
And striking that balance, because John uses a lot of, in his content, like he uses a lot of humor as well and sarcasm and everything. And it is a balance. I mean, and it is, you know, the challenge of that is to say things in a way that people can hear while still being genuine, while not just for your own sake. I mean, at least for me, it's like, I don't want to be angry all the time.
You can't. It's not good for you.
And so, yeah, so he certainly follow him as far as he continues to report on this. And from a different angle than you're probably going to hear from mainstream, from the big media, let's say that. Because I feel like mainstream media now has been co-opted into like, we can't use that use that term without it having negative connotations,
right,
beyond. There are certain ways big companies do the news versus independent journalists. Anyways, what were we going to say?
Just, I think one of the reasons why this story is still staying, maybe not completely in the forefront, but is still being talked about. We're all affected by trains.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day when I drive to work here in downtown Waukesha, there are freight trains that go through all the time.
Yep.
And every community, and, you know, rail is a huge mover in this country. And East Palestine might seem really far away, but it's not.
No.
And if this is happening just for Norfolk Southern, cutting back on all these safety measures, should we just assume that all the rest of the railroad companies aren't doing that too?
Yeah.
To increase their profits,
yeah,
and to make sure that their CEOs can make their $8, $9, $10, $11 million a year,
have their 8,000 square foot house.
Yeah, everybody needs that. You got to stretch out.
That's too much house.
Well, you,
even if I had that much money, which I never will, it's too much house.
They're not the ones who have to clean it.
It's fair. See, the thing is, for me, who loses, no, scratch that, misplaces momentarily until I find it. Almost everything, including my AirPods, having a big house like that only increases the amount of places I could have put it. And that sounds like a nightmare. All right. Well, I saw this. So on Monday night, Giannis Antetokounmpo was on The Daily Show.
Yep.
Because since Trevor Noah left, there's been every week, there's been rotating co-hosts or guest hosts. different comedians. And I don't know if it's so much people auditioning for the show so much as it's just
chance to fill in.
Just do, you know, it's like doing SNL, though it might, four daily shows. Be interesting to see what's the bigger workload, doing one live show or four live shows. But Hasan Minhaj was there this week, who started, I mean, his big break was as a correspondent on The Daily Show. He was originally hired by Jon Stewart, but hired basically at the end of Jon Stewart's reign. And then he was on when Trevor Noah's first year. And it's since he got his own show for a little while. And he is, if you don't know who he is, look him up. Hasen, last name Minhaj. He is so good.
He is.
Both of his specials are so good on Netflix. The first one I ever saw was Homecoming King. That was so good. He is the, he's like kind of like W. Kamau Bell, who, what was the name of the CNN show that he's won a couple Emmys for? United Nations something. It's something that he goes all over the country. But it's like, it's comedians like that who also use their comedy for good. And the way that they, it's they're very funny, but they're also like very much.
They have a point.
They have a point. Yep. They have like a very full heart. And so he, I had seen a while ago, him on some podcast talking about how much he loves Giannis. And he loves Giannis for context, because Giannis is obviously an immigrant. And we all know his story of like the depths of poverty that he and his family was in Greece before, obviously, everything that happened with the Bucks. And Hasan is a second generation Indian immigrant. And a lot of his comedy is talking about being the child of immigrants. Sure. And so he has admiration for the kind of humility and frugalness that Giannis has. So he had Giannis on Monday night, the first day he was hosting this week for The Daily Show. So let's just set that part up.
It's weird because I haven't kind of hosted a show like this. I haven't been back for quite a few years. And being in the media is a very strange thing, because we'll work on jokes, right? And then, you know, I'll look down the barrel and I'll say them, and then they just get piped out to the world. And sometimes you get pulled into some drama. So it's only my second day here, and I wake up this morning and Skip Bayless put me on Undisputed.
You keep joining super teams to win the NBA title. How about we work out together sometime so I can teach you how to carry your own team?
Oh!
Wow!
It's supposed to be cute. It's supposed to be tee-hee funny. It's supposed to be key-key-key funny.
Right.
And it's just not to me either, because it's unfair to Kevin Durant.
Right.
And he is the thinnest-skinned superstar I've ever closely observed, so he is not going to be pleased, and I'm waiting for him to fire back.
That's such an unusual defense.
I know.
He's so thin-skinned.
We got to be nice to KD.
Don't insult him, because he can't take it.
So we all, I mean, this is the second time in the short run of this show that we have complained about Skip Bayless, because he is, I think even in this, we're not going to play that part, but it's, Hasan Minhaj at one point goes, do you guys know who Skip Bayless is? And some people kind of, there's like a mixed reaction. He goes, well, he's an old white guy named Skip Bayless. That's basically what you need to know.
That's all you need.
And he's just, it's a fact that this guy still has a platform. I feel like he's so uniformly disliked by the most people as far as what his takes are, how he uses players to, you know, and how he talks about players, and just like, and he's also like, has this guy ever played a sport in his life? Like, he does not look like an athletic human being.
What's his background for this?
I actually don't know. I'm sure someone can text in, as far as someone probably knows why he's qualified to be, you know, considered probably one of the top paid and longest running sports commentators. But he picks out that clip from a comedy show called The Daily Show. It's a comedy show. So let's play. So Hasan goes on to say why he had brought him on. So let's
Day one, I brought out, you know, NBA All-Star Giannis Antetokounmpo. I brought him out on the show. He was our first guest for my week. And I brought him on actually to plug his amazing foundation that's in honor of his father, the Charles Antetokounmpo Family Foundation. And one of the things I was talking about, I don't know if anyone here is a fan of Giannis, but he's this... really beautiful human being. He's one of the best basketball players in the world, but he has this like immigrant dad green card energy. You know what I mean? Like, he has a super max contract, but he's just like, are these Subway napkins? Can I take these? Like, it's that juxtaposition that I love about him. And he's got so much humility and grace. And there was this clip that we played on the show where even though he's a two-time MVP, they asked him in interviews, hey, do you think you're the best basketball player in the world? He's the former MVP. And he's like, nah, Steph Curry is.
So you have to, like, this is a comedy show.
Yep.
And so it's an interview. And I think that the interview that I reposted, this was like 10 minutes between the two of them. And it's something that I would love for this show, for us to have more time to do, is like, it, there's the interview, but then there's also like the fun.
The bit.
The bit. The part that's hilarious. And so the writers took, the bit was, because Giannis is so kind.
And humble.
And humble, that he's not very good at talking smack. And so they scripted all of these smack talk, all these like one-liners to smack talk like LeBron and different players. And so let's play that part.
And you know how like Obama on Key and Peele had the Obama anger translator? I was like, I need to be your talk translator. So he's just so humble, he can't do it. So we load up talk in the prompters. And I go, look, I know comedy's not your show. Go to this camera right here, read it. You know, and he's just like, hey, LeBron, you know, and he's doing his whole thing. Hey, LeBron, you know, and then he couldn't even get through and he's like, I'm sorry, LeBron, I love you, LeBron. Like, LeBron, I love you, I love you, I love my family, I love my mother. Like, he could not do it. He could not talk for 2 seconds. He's a better Muslim than me. He's not even Muslim, you know what I mean?
So, and then he did get one line out. As far as he got the, and we played it before, but we'll play it again. He got the KD, Kevin Durant, line out. That is smack talk because it's kind of true. If we're being honest, like Kevin Durant has team hopped a lot and it's not worked out with this through the super teams that they've put together. And Giannis is stuck with one team and has one championship. So let's play what he actually said that Skip Bayless decided then to pluck out.
Inadvertently, he got through this line that I wrote for him, and he's like, KD, let's work out together so I can finally teach you to be strong enough to carry your own team. Oh, no, no, why did I say that? No, it was so adorable. Oh, KD, no, I love you, KD.
Where's the camera?
Where's the camera?
KD, you're one of the best scorers to ever play this game. I respect your game. You know, you've led by example for 15 years. So you
were
my favorite player growing up.
I hate this. And entertain me.
I respect your game.
He just couldn't do it.
Could not do it.
No. Even though it was just a joke, it was just a bit.
And he couldn't follow through. And so, you know, this is all a setup to go to what Hassan ends up being, what he is frustrated with. He likes the bit, right? He still, you can tell, he still thinks it's funny. He still likes the stands by the interview that he had with Giannis, but that it was then used by another show to create controversy by just plucking out the part where he said something mean and not playing the whole context of a comedy show. And so this is, let's hear what he says about that.
That's the thing. I'm only on day two of, you know, doing this guest hosting thing, and that's the vexing thing I hate about being a part of the media. It's this clickbait, Instagram reels, TikTok media grift of like, oh, if I just snip out the right amount, oh, baby, I can ride the wave. Like, while you're on the train to work, I can get you mad. Like, oh, I can, ooh, feed that algorithm, Lord Algo, right? And the part is, Skip is perpetuating the very same reason why professional athletes don't go on any of these shows. You know what I mean? They've created a dynamic where you gotta go full Darth Maul in order to be a former athlete that does media. You gotta go full Draymond Green, Kendrick Perkins, to camera. I'll be like, I'll kick you in the nuts. And the producers are like, yeah, more, do more of that. Or be a normal person, right? That's why all the athletes are like, you know, I'm just going to just keep doing my thing and just completely ignore you guys.
And so We can keep talking about this after this because we have to go to break soon. But I just, because I think it's not just athletes. I've heard actors talk about this.
And
actors are contracted that they have to do the press tours when they're on a movie or a TV show, and they have to. But I've heard like Jennifer Lawrence talk about this, and she's like, this is the worst part of the job because of the things that get plucked and the parts of me that get picked apart, and it takes away from the craft of actually what my job is to act.
Right, or to play basketball.
Or to play a sport. So we'll keep talking about this when you come back. If you have thoughts, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back. Yes, it's true. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are rounding out the noon hour, just powering through our Friday show so we can get to the weekend and relax. But the previous segment, we were talking about Hasan Minhaj's response to his interview with Giannis that got plucked. One soundbite got plucked to then be able to use as a talking point.
To make him look bad.
To make him look bad, but also, you know, to feed the machine.
Well, and to maybe spark some bad blood and bad exchanges between Giannis, right, and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but I also wonder how much, you know, as we talk about feeding, we have to feed the machine of a show. And you try to find the thing to make your show have to be, especially when stakes are high and Undisputed is a popular show. It's on a big television channel or whatever. And so it's like to create, manufacture controversy to give you something to talk about versus doing a little more work to find something actually to talk about that is based in something that really happened versus your manipulation of what happened.
Angertainment.
And so you said we got a text?
We do, from the 608, and you can always check in with us. Same number if you want to call or you want to text. 844-967-2789. Texter says, what are Skip Bayless's credentials other than saying and writing stupid things for 40 years, much of which is cynical clickbait? I have no idea. And I have no idea why anyone watches any show this pathetic shock jock is on. Also, we're so lucky to be able to have a first-class performer and have see Giannis on a daily basis. Never, never take that for granted.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and that was why, you know, the interview, because Hasan Minhaj is one of my favorites. And I think this, the clip we played in the last segment of that 6 minutes has like well over a million views on Twitter, and it got shared a lot. And I think there's a lot of people who are potentially hoping that he takes over the Daily Show. He would be very good at it, although he is like a dad. He's married. He's a dad of two. And that is the show that is a grind. And so, but he would be really good at it because I think he's like Trevor Noah, like Jon Stewart, you know, it's that right combination of humor, but also trying to change the world a little bit. Even if they won't admit it, they are.
Well, tidbit of information by tidbit of information.
Because that show is always, I think even, maybe Last Week Tonight isn't as adamant about it, but, you know, the Daily Show is always in the, we're a comedy show.
Yep.
And it's true. They are comedy first, and they try to find the joke. But they also feel, I sat in when I was living in New York. I went to a luncheon or breakfast thing, and the showrunner, who's been in there 25 years.
Wow.
And another producer who's been there her entire career. She started as an intern, and they're both awesome. Two women. We're talking about the show, and this was Trevor Noah was already the host, and you know they talked about because one of the questions in the luncheon was, you know, what does a day look like, and they talked about the writing room and the importance of the writing room and how, you know, always throw your idea out there because your idea, even if that's not the joke, that could spawn someone else's creativity.
Absolutely.
and the beauty of brainstorming.
That process,
as a, as a process. Mm-hmm. But they're also saying the balance of, especially during the Trump years, that we were just talking about. What do you give a nod to so your audience knows, like, yes, we know this is happening, but this isn't what we're, our focus is going to be. But, like, they still know that they are part news, even if they're making fun of and having jokes about the news and having to not just pick the things that are ripe, like the most ripe for jokes, but feeling like they can also, you know,
get a little
get more information in there. Yeah. And so I don't know. So I mean, I would love to see him as, I'm trying to think who else has hosted so far. Chelsea Handler's been there.
She's not going to do it.
That's not your bag.
And I she's okay. I've never adored her, but I just don't see her as a,
no,
as a,
I don't,
regular,
think that's,
and Sarah, or Sarah Silverman, yeah, either.
Leslie Jones. Oh, go ahead.
Going back to the whole Skip Bayless thing and these clickbait things, there is no question that people in the media do this because they want your eyeballs. We want your eyeballs. We want your earballs. We want, you know, those things.
Your earballs.
But as a society, we all have some shared responsibility for clicking on that clickbait and passing on that clickbait and sending it on to our friends, that clickbait. So just remember that.
Just remember that before you press forward.
Exactly. Just think for a moment and think back to, again, angertainment. It's not good for anybody.
Do you feel like you share? I feel like I share more funny/heartwarming things than angry things, I think. But this could be a blind spot for me.
That's not something I've ever done, forwarded things to people.
And just been like, isn't this a...
No, no.
I'm trying to think if I'm probably... This might be a blind spot. But I feel like most of the things, if I think about what I'm sharing to like my Instagram story and stuff like that...
The lighter things.
It's usually something that I'm like, I wonder if this, and it's not even mine. It'll be someone else's meme or whatever that I wonder, I'm going to say this one. This is not mine, but it's one that I shared most recently that I got a lot of. Even Derek Mosley.
Oh, he liked it?
Gave it a chuckle.
Oh, wow.
So it's basically a man goes to the ER with 25 plastic horses found in his rectum. Doctors described his condition as stable.
Oh, owie. Ooh. That's a groaner, girl.
A lot of people thought it was really funny. Maybe I didn't recite it specifically, like, perfectly. But
borderline dad joke.
It is borderline dad joke. I don't care. I laughed out loud. Because basically on the meme, it had a bunch of pictures of little plastic horses.
Oh, jeez.
All right, well, on that note.
Okay, we'll go out with that then.
This has been the Noon Lunch Hour. We are going to come back and we're going to talk about Girl Scouts. We're going to talk about smelting.
I'm very excited.
Something I did not know until this morning what it even was. Come back for the 1 o'clock hour. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stop it.